Yeah, it's great to celebrate our mothers, and not just on Mother's Day, but every day. Children, celebrate your mothers. Thank them for being a mother. Tell them you are grateful, that they are loved, that they are appreciated every day, not just Mother's Day. And during the week when I was preparing today's word for Sunday, my mind kept going to the fact of how mothers are some of the busiest people I know. Hands up if you know that, have seen that, that mothers are some of the busiest people we know. It's incredible how busy they are. I just look at my wife, Lisa. She works full time, and on top of that, she serves at the church. She runs our household, cooking, laundry, gardening, kids programs, cleaning, walking the dog, exercising somehow in there as well. It's amazing, and more. I'm just blown away how much she does and how much energy she has. And of course, I try to help. Sometimes the best help is just staying out of the way. Because I could mess it all up, right? But I try and help, and I like to think I do my part. You can ask Lisa if I do my part, but I try. And when I was considering all these things of the busy women we call mothers, a certain Bible story just kept coming to my mind. It's the story of Martha and Mary. It's a familiar story to many of us. Perhaps you've never heard it, and this is the first time you've heard it, but it comes from Luke chapter 10, verse 38. We'll get there shortly, but before that, just a little background. Martha and Mary, along with Lazarus, are close friends of Jesus. Jesus knew them. They knew Jesus. They were dear, close friends. And their home in Bethany was about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And it was a familiar place for Jesus and his disciples to kind of rest, relax, rejuvenate. And on another occasion, when in their home, Mary would break open a bottle of perfume, a bottle of nard perfume, and anoint the feet of Christ and wipe his feet with her untied hair. And we know that Judas Iscariot would be upset by the expense of such an expensive perfume. In his eyes, it's a waste of money, but we know Judas has alternative motives for his outburst. But their home was also the scene of a great miracle when their brother Lazarus was being raised from the dead by Jesus. So their home was a place that Jesus often visited, and extraordinary things happened there. But before we get any further, let's read the story together. So if you have your Bibles with you, open up Luke chapter 10, verse 38. If you don't have your Bibles, there's some pew Bibles for you to use there, and we're using the same translation, ESV, if you're wondering what that is. And we also have them up on the screen there. If, Chucky, you want to put the scripture up, Luke 10, 38. Let's read the whole 38 to 42 in one go here, and then we'll go through the story together. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." All right, so Luke tells us that while Jesus and his disciples were on their way, meaning he was heading for Jerusalem, he's invited by Martha into her home. And Luke, in verse 38, tells us he's welcomed into her house. Now, this is much more than a simple invitation for a cup of tea and a chat. It speaks of hospitality, which in the time of Christ had social customs and certain expectations tied to such an event. And Luke goes on to point out that Martha has a sister called Mary. So we're introduced within three verses to the three main characters in this short little story. And from the context, it would appear that Martha is the older sister and that she is in the role of a host. Verse 39, Luke immediately tells us that Mary sat down at the feet of Jesus to listen to what he was saying, to what he was teaching. And by sitting at his feet, Mary is assuming the role of a disciple. And we might not think anything of that at first. However, such an action was socially unacceptable in its day. No woman could become a disciple of a rabbi or religious leader in those days. It was just unheard of. This did not happen. In fact, it was a scandalous thing for Mary to do, and even more so for Christ to allow her to do so. Mary had crossed and broken a clear social boundary, and by doing so, she risked a chance of bringing shame upon her household and her family if the word gets around. That's just a side note to the story here. Verse 30, all the while Martha has been doing what is socially acceptable at the time and expected of her, she's busy serving, perhaps preparing a meal, attending to the guests' needs, getting, you know, things organized, cleaned up. Maybe she didn't expect that Jesus would be in town, and when he welcomed her house, she's thinking, oh man, my house is a mess. And, you know, quickly throwing things in the closet and that sort of stuff. You know, I kind of see my wife doing that sometimes when we have unexpected guests coming and we're just both of us then, you know, and then don't go in that closet. But how often do we also treat Jesus like that in our lives, in our hearts, where we think that we need to get everything in order in our hearts, in our lives before we can welcome him in? And when we do welcome him, we're still trying to do that. We're not just spending time with Christ. Just a thought. And look what is said about Martha. Martha was distracted with much serving. Much serving. Or the translations put it like this: Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. There was expectation on her. Social expectations. You know, when I sat down and I turned that sentence over in my head, I was left thinking, how was she distracted with all the preparations? I mean, if you're cooking dinner and cleaning up and serving people, you're usually focused on what needs to be done, right? On the task at hand. But she's distracted. I began to wonder if the distraction was actually in her heart. Her heart's desire was to be like Mary, in her position, to be where Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And her sense of duty and the pressure of expectation was on her. And that kind of thinking made her stay, perhaps in the kitchen. I wonder if she was constantly kind of popping in and out of the kitchen, you know, kind of trying to hear what Jesus is talking about, and, you know, then getting back to task, and she's distracted. And then her frustration level just seems to be growing, right? Building up. Until she finally lets it all out. One commentator described as Martha blurting out in her frustration. But know what Jesus says. But know what she says to Jesus. Lord, do you not care? Lord, do you not care? That kind of hit me. How could she ask such a question of Jesus, the Jesus in the flesh, the Son of God? Lord, do you not care? Then I consider how I actually ask that question of Christ quite often myself. How often my heart and my mind, I get frustrated. I ask that question when those levels build up. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that this is happening? Martha then makes a telling statement that my sister has left me alone, or left me to serve alone. When I read that phrase, I realized that there must have been at some point which Mary abandoned kind of the serving duty, perhaps the kitchen, abandoned Martha, abandoned the expectations, and went and sat down at Christ's feet. And there must have been at some point at which Mary felt and decided that this was more important than serving. This is more important, to sit at the feet of Jesus. It was more important than setting the table. It was more important than cooking. It was more important than cleaning or getting a cup of water for Peter. It was more important to sit at the feet of Christ and listen to him speak. Mary had made a conscious decision at that Christ, at that God-given moment, to be at the feet of Jesus, listen to him. It was more important than anything else Martha was doing. And Martha began to resent Mary for her decision. Martha resented the fact that Mary had left all the preparations and serving for her and gone sat by Christ. And Martha wants Christ to tell Mary she was wrong and to commend Martha for her hard work. Now let me ask you a personal question, and I ask myself this. Are you a Martha or a Mary? Are you a Martha or a Mary? The truth is that there are some of you here who are definitely Marthas. You are doers. You're doers, and there's nothing wrong with being a doer. I want to make that very clear. There's nothing wrong with being a doer, except when it keeps you from being at the feet of Jesus Christ. And I'd add, when it leads you to criticize fellow Christians. Some of us have what we could dub the Martha syndrome. You want everyone to know how much you work, how hard you work, what you've been doing while others sit and listen to teaching. And sometimes your frustration grows and grows until you blurt it all out. But I also want to say to you that some of you today, the reality of having this Martha syndrome is something that you kind of love, hang on to. You won't let anyone else help, perhaps, and then you complain, maybe not out loud, but you complain in your spirit, Lord, don't you care that so-and-so has left me to do it all, or these people aren't helping me? And perhaps we even start to derive a sense of self-worth from this, that this is what makes me important. And Martha goes further than just a complaint. She then commands Jesus to tell Mary to help me. Tell my sister to help me. Come on. This is injustice. How dare she? Lord, tell her to help me. Do you see the progression here throughout this story? Martha gets busy serving, doing everything. Mary may be helping and leaves Martha to do it all and sits at Jesus' feet because what Jesus is talking about, his very presence, is so drawing to her. She leaves Martha. And she's trying to live up to the expectations of the day of being a perfect hostess. And she's constantly being distracted by the words of Jesus, what's going on in the other room, and she wants to be there, but she can't because she's busy serving and doing. And Mary just sits at the feet of Jesus, not caring. And her frustration overflows into anger and even bitterness, and she questions Jesus' concern for her and demands he tells Mary to help her. If I have to work and not sit at your feet, then I demand that my sister has to work as well. Ever found yourself in that situation? Ever found yourself asking God to tell other people to do what you are doing? To go through what you are going through? She didn't want Mary to enjoy the teaching if she had to work in the kitchen at the same time. But friends, you know the really telling thing about this story is? Nowhere do we read that Jesus asked Martha to prepare a meal. Nowhere do we read that it was anyone other than Martha who had placed such expectations on herself. If only Martha had realized it was herself who had fed the distractions which led to the outburst. And this morning, maybe, just maybe, you need to hear what Jesus said to Martha in response in verse 41. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." I could just imagine the soft voice of Jesus saying, "Martha, Martha." I can imagine Christ standing with arms open, ready to embrace Martha, while Martha stands at the doorway, tears streaming down her face, her flustered cheeks, because she's somewhat embarrassed at her outburst and the reaction in the room. And then she hears a gentle voice calling her name, "Martha, Martha." And then Jesus points out how she's allowed her heart to be anxious and troubled by many things. Have you been anxious and troubled by many things? Expectations, pressure from the outside, people pleasing? You know, that phrase is similar to the one that Jesus used when teaching about the parable of the seed falling among the thorny soil. When it grew up, when it grew and weeds and thorns grew up along around it, and the worries, anxieties of this world are like those thorns. They choked it out and it died. Christ says the same thing to Martha. "Martha, don't allow the worries, the troubles, the anxieties of the world to choke out the seed of life in your life. Mary has chosen the good portion, the better portion." And guys, please note that Jesus did not say Martha had chosen the wrong thing and Mary had chosen the right thing. The things Martha had been doing, serving and hospitality, were good things, are good things. But it was a lesser thing at that moment with the opportunity to sit at the feet of Christ in his presence. I found it quite the challenge of these words of Christ. I was challenged how often I find myself doing things, running around with sweat on my brow, which are not wrong things, but which can distract me from sitting at the feet of Christ, of being in his presence, spending time with my Savior. How easily I find myself in Martha's shoes when I really ought to be in Mary's shoes. How often I find myself distracted, worried, upset by many things and neglect the better thing. Is that true for you this morning? Do you find yourself distracted in your heart because you want to be at the feet of Jesus listening to him, but you are so distracted living up to the expectations of others around you or even within the church? Of course you do. And I want to take this even in the context of our church. You know, we have a choice as a church. We can either be a Martha church or a Mary church. Martha churches run around saying, "Oh, Jesus is coming." But what does Jesus say to Martha? "You are anxious and troubled by many things." In other words, you're worried and you're distracted. We can be a church just busying ourselves with much serving and doing and running programs and get caught up in what the church is about in those things. Or we can be a Mary church where we recognize that being at the feet of Jesus in his presence is priority number one. Being in his presence is most important. And what then drives our ministry? What drives our church? Is it the principle of working and serving? Or are we a church driven by his presence? Church, we need to be a presence-driven church. Even in John 12, when Mary anoints Jesus' feet, this is later on after this interaction, the story that we're looking at. It says in John 12, 2-3, it says, "So they gave a dinner for him there." This is back at Martha and Mary's house. "Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him," Jesus, "at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume." But what did we read in 12:2? Martha served. And what did Mary do? She went and got the bottle of perfume and anointed Jesus' feet. And we can conclude that Martha did not learn the lesson from the previous story when Jesus was in their household. Martha was still serving. I believe too many churches are stuck in the Martha spirit, so focused on serving and doing, which aren't bad things, but they miss the key thing, being at the feet of Jesus, seeking his face, being in his presence, in the presence of our God. Friends, I think we all need to hear Jesus speaking to us this morning. It is a time to come and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. Hear his words. Hear his words to you. It's a time to set aside our distractions of a divided heart and make that time to be with Jesus. Do you make time to be with your Lord and Savior? I want you to hear what I'm saying. Mary did not sit forever at the feet of Jesus. The next day, Jesus would leave and go on his way to Jerusalem, yet Mary would be able to ponder in her heart what she had heard while being with Jesus, sitting at his feet. Mary would be in the kitchen in the household, helping Mary after Jesus left, doing chores, sharing the workload of preparations. But she refused, Mary refused that God-given opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus when he was there. So I want to ask you this morning, why did you come to church this morning? Why are you here today? Why are you here today? Is it because it's just Mother's Day? Is it just because you're scheduled to be doing something? Serving in a ministry? Or did you come because you wanted to be in the presence of the Lord? Did you want to be sitting at the feet of Jesus today? Did you come for people to commend you on your hard work? Or did you come to seek the face of Jesus, to be in his presence? I believe this is God's word for many of us here today. Don't miss the opportunity to hear him speaking to you. Don't miss the opportunity to be in his presence. I think too often we substitute doing work, serving, as being in his presence. And we find ourselves getting tired, worried, anxious, frustrated, and we lose the joy of serving, of contributing to the body of Christ, his church. And often the weariness isn't even physical. Our bodies aren't tired. But rather the weariness is in the spirit. It's a spiritual weariness. And it's because I feel like I'm doing all of this and Jesus isn't even in it. It's an exhaustion of running programs and doing for doing's sake. But it only takes one touch from the presence of God and you're rejuvenated. So when we set aside time to choose the better portion, the one thing necessary, Jesus says, the necessary thing, being at the feet of Jesus, being in his presence, allowing him to speak to us, hearing him, then serving becomes a joy. The work is light. Why? Because we spent time in his presence. We have the right order of things. And we serve out of love and adoration and strength that we get from our Lord, our God, of being in his presence. It's time we set those times to be with our God, to hear him speak to your heart. It's time to be like Mary and come out of the kitchen and just sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. The work will be there when you return. Jesus is not saying or teaching to neglect our duties. What he's saying is get your priorities right. And there's so many Christians that your priorities aren't right. You're busy doing many things, even things for the Lord. But you can't remember the last time you opened your Bible to hear God speak. You can't remember the last time you took time out of your schedule to pray or have fellowship with God. You know, I take time to schedule in my day-to-day to spend time with Jesus, to make a cup of coffee, take my Bible, sit and read, pray and listen. Why? Because if I don't, I quickly become a Martha and not a Mary. I quickly become the doer and not a disciple. I quickly seek to live up to the expectation of others, people pleasing, and I forget I am called to live for one audience alone, and that is Jesus Christ, and have a relationship with him as priority number one. Now, I know many of us don't have the luxury to take some time in the morning to be in his presence, but if you have time to sit in front of the TV for 1 or 2 hours in the evening, afternoon, or scroll your phone, but you can't take time to spend with God, where are your priorities? What are you doing? Where is your heart's desires? What example are you setting for your children who are watching you? What legacy are you leaving them? What are you teaching them? What investment are you making in your life and the life of your family? So I want to finish with Christ's final statement to Martha in verse 42. Jesus says, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Do you hear what Jesus is saying here to Martha and to Mary and to all gathered in the home in Bethany? He is saying that what Martha has heard while sitting at the feet of the eternal one, Jesus Christ, is of eternal value. It will not be taken away from her. It will not be taken away from her. Sitting in his presence, listening to his voice, hearing the word of God, it will not be taken away from her. Ever. Martha can't take it away from her. Martha, no one here is able to take it away from her. Martha, not even death will take it away from her. It is of eternal value. Now ask yourself, what in my life is of eternal value? What is of eternal value in your life? What can you take out of this world and bring into the next? What in my life will not be taken away from me? You often hear people say, what I would give to be able to go back and do it so-and-so, and do and have again. Guys, I don't want to be at the end of my life and wish with all my soul I had spent more time in his presence and less time being distracted by the worries and troubles and anxieties in life, the expectation of others and things of this world. I don't want to regret that, do you? You know, I believe it because Mary spent time at the feet of Christ that later on she did not hesitate to anoint his feet with that expensive perfume. She did not worry what anyone else thought of such an extravagant gift and deed, nor breaking the social boundaries of untying her hair and wiping Jesus' feet with her hair. She didn't care. She just cared about Jesus. Being in his presence. It would not be taken away from her. I also believe because of that time spent at Jesus' feet, listening to his voice, it enabled Mary and Martha to be at the foot of the cross as he died. So what if it was not the social norm or the expectation? So what if people talked about them? It would not be taken away from them. Jesus gave his life on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins for all people, so that whoever puts their faith in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Guys, that's the gospel. And that will not be taken away from you. Nothing in the world, not even the heavens and the spiritual realm, can take that away from you. If we have nothing else, that is what we have. It cannot and will not be taken away from you. So today I want to leave you all with a challenge, including myself. Make a decision, a conscious decision. Are you going to allow yourself to be distracted by the worries, the anxieties, the troubles, the expectations of others of the world to miss out on the better thing? Or are you going to sit at the feet of Christ and hear his voice, be in his presence? Are you going to choose the better part today, tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, until your eternity in the full presence of your Lord and Savior? What do you choose today? Let's choose together to choose the better portion, the better part, to sit at the feet of Jesus, to be in his presence, to desire that above all else. Let's be a merry church, seeking first the presence of Christ. You know, people in the world, they may have a touch of God in their life, and it propels them to go to church, and then they come into this room and into the church, and if the presence of God is here, they'll stay. If it isn't, what will happen? They won't. And perhaps they will miss out on building and finding that relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's seek for his face together. Let's long for the presence of Jesus in our life and in our church. Let's choose the better portion. Let's be like Mary. Let's pray.